Hello, and welcome back to Hamster Extra.
At the movies.
Thank you. I didn't know what to call it. It's been a little while since we last did this, but this is just a recap of the movies that have been watched lately, some recommendations or otherwise, as to what certain people thought of it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's always good to watch a film that you haven't seen before, you know nothing about, maybe, just to try new things, new genres, perhaps. And so maybe we could recommend something that you might not have thought of.
And can you please say the highly scientific way that we are choosing these movies?
Well, we both wrote some each on a bit of paper and we chuck it in a box and then just pick them out at random. So could be your choice, could be my choice. I don't think we've seen each other's choices before, so that's quite good. We are watching new films together.
Now, I have to say, this doesn't just work for couples. It works for, you know, if you live with your family or if you live with a roommate or something like that. It's a nice way of exploring things that you might not otherwise watch. There's a load of movies up there I wouldn't watch unless we was doing this.
I know, yeah.
And, you know, when usually when you're stuck looking at the shelves going, oh, which one? Oh, I don't know. Oh,
and yeah, really it forces you to make a decision.
It forces you, yeah. You shove them all in there, 40 movies, and it's potluck whether it's going to be something shit that's Mark picked. Okay. Well, okay, so we've got quite a few here to get through. So the first one we watched was Coco.
Oh, yeah, Disney Pixar.
Yeah, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I knew nothing about this. I don't know why. I'm not a fan of Pixar films, really. I haven't watched
Toy Story?
Well, yeah, there's like Monsters, Toy Story and stuff. Inc. But then I feel like modern times, like Toy Story was like 1996, the first one.
Yeah.
But like modern times, they come out. I don't know. I don't see them advertised. I don't know when they're out. I know nothing about them. I don't really follow them. So I had no idea going into this. And it was amazing. It was brilliant. It's sort of Mexican,
yeah, Mexican
themed,
yeah,
isn't it? Day of the Dead.
That's right.
Themed. Sort of fantasy
about this lovely little kid.
Oh yeah,
he wants to play music, but he's not allowed to play music because his dad was a wrong'un that left his mum, and he played the guitar. So he goes on a long spirit of adventure across to the Day of the Dead, doesn't he? And finds his dad, and it turns out his dad wasn't a wrong'un at all.
We don't give spoilers, do we?
Oh, sorry, I won't say too much.
Edit. Anyway, no, it's really, it's got all your, what a Disney film does, or yeah, a Disney Pixar film does. It's got that.
Great songs.
It's a great family adventure. It's not a musical, though, is it? It's got songs in it, no, but it's not like a musical.
And it's got a beautiful soundtrack,
it's got,
though.
It's funny. It's just, yeah, got all the,
I
right
like
moments.
The grandma.
And the animation.
You know, the grandma that was just, yeah, sitting there in the chair all throughout the whole, yeah, movie.
But when he goes over into the, what is it?
The sort of dead world.
Dead world.
It's like a whole city.
It's so amazing. The detail in
the animation.
The animation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, yeah, the characters are sort of, it's that Pixar-y. They've got big eyes, big head. Like Disney-fied anime type thing. But for a modern one that I haven't really seen many of, I really liked it. Yeah,
I think it educates you quite a lot on Mexican traditions.
Yes, Mexican culture and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, which is really nice. It's, yeah, nice when Disney does that. When they did Pocahontas, that was quite a nice one as well, which educated you a little bit. Every now and, yeah, again, they do something. They go to another culture.
I think this is more like more modern. It's more actually set in the culture and beliefs. I think Pocahontas was very Disney-fied, and I don't think he was very nice to her. I think she was a slave and was buried in Westminster Cathedral.
Is that never real? Mind.
I think so. That's Pocahontas. So I wouldn't take that one exactly true.
Is Pocahontas the one where she talks to the singing tree?
I don't know, I haven't seen it for a long time. Anyway, I think we've moved on. It's more sort of grounded in actual culture.
Do you know which is my favourite song in Coco?
What?
It's the one he sings at the end, Proud Corazon. To a melody played. Anyway,
yes.
That is a huge recommend from me because, yeah, I actually cried at the end of that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
And I don't cry a lot at the end of movies. Yeah. But it's that sort of sentimental, nice crying, you know. Yeah, Coco. So do you recommend that one?
Yes. Are we doing them out of hamster wheels?
Oh, let's just do it out of 10.
Out of 10.
That's
hamster
a 9.
Popcorns.
That's a 9. A strong recommend from me.
Yeah, I'd give it an 8. Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah, pretty good.
Pretty strong. Okay, next up, we've got, I'm very happy using legal terms in real life. Ooh, nice tits. I object.
Okay, so Legally Blonde, that was my choice. Classic.
Was that your choice?
Yeah.
I think that was my choice.
Oh, okay. Nah, fine.
That was one of mine.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
You put very worthy movies in. I put all the fun ones in.
It's funny because I first watched Legally Blonde 2 at the cinema. I'd never seen the first one, which was strange. I think they're both brilliant. It's early 2000s. So we've just come out. You know, we did The Sweetest Thing in that last time. There was all of that slew of those 90s films. This is sort of one of the last great of the early 2000s, right. That style of film.
I mean,
they sort of went away after that.
Everything's
after
up a notch from The Sweetest Thing, isn't
it? It's much better than that.
Yeah. It's well edited.
It's much better than those late 90s ones, but it's sort of from that mould, but it just elevates it a bit more. And actually, it's from a book, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think.
Well, it's got all those people that you recognise from the time. The girl...
It's Reese Witherspoon.
Well, can we talk about Reese Witherspoon for a second? Because I think, really, on the page, you should find her fucking annoying. And she's delightful. She just about managed to walk that fine line, doesn't she, of being cutesy cute and being super smart.
And she was quite well unknown at this point. This is sort of what made her.
Yeah, I think this brought her up a bit.
This was her bigger.
What's the name of the actress who plays the girl who hates her?
She was in The Sweetest Thing, wasn't she? I can never remember her name. She's got dark hair.
She always looks like she's sucking on a lemon. She's always the villain, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then by the end, she always comes good.
Yeah.
And. What was Legally Blonde's name in this?
Elle Woods.
Elle had two best friends, these two bimbos, who turned up in court at the end. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's absurd. The bit at the end where she solves the whole court case just because she knows the pool attendant's gay.
It's very, I think the script and the lines are very witty and clever. It's not just your sort of gross out comedy of that time. Very
it's delicate.
It's a proper mystery story. It does work out, but it's very fast, quick pace, just the way that the dialogue goes back and forth, especially in those court scenes, especially at the end when it just works.
It's
perfectly.
So like fantasy,
it's so funny.
If this isn't
like your kind of thing, if you're like, oh, I'm never gonna watch some like American trashy thing, give this a go, because actually there's a bit more to it than that, even though it's got all those trashy things in it. And it starts out like you think it's going to be like a, you know, high school, college, you know, one of those kind of things, but it's not.
I think the moral of the story is beautiful people can be smart too.
Well, I mean,
some people have
got
everything. Yeah. But the only bit that really made me feel uncomfortable, the only time the real world ever intruded on this movie, was when the man tried to touch her up.
Yeah, I know.
The fellow that she's working for.
Yeah. But there's nothing else has really sort of dated badly in it as well, where I think some of the others around that time have dated quite badly.
That's true. Yeah, I just thought this was super well done. It was, it's that sort of entertaining watch, like My Best Friend's Wedding, you know? Mm. There's nothing too deep about it. There's nothing that's going to tax your brain, but
it's a great soundtrack as well.
It's got a really good soundtrack. I like the bit where she goes to the party and they told her it's a dress-up party and she went as a bunny girl and then no one else was dressed up. And she didn't care.
I really like this. We've got to do the sequel at some point. I really like the sequel.
Was it better?
It didn't get as good reviews, but I quite like the sequel.
Oh, I'm there for it. Anyway. So, come on. Okay. How many hamster wheels?
I'm going to say 9.
Oh, I'd give that 8. So we reverse there. But it's still good. Yeah. It's still strong recommend. Okay, next up is... obviously very serious, it's one of yours. The Aviator.
Oh,
directed by Martin Scorsese.
Leonardo DiCaprio. It's the story
Why
of...
Why have you gone very camp talking about this movie? Martin Scorsese, okay. Yeah.
It's the story of Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's Howard Hughes, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The director.
I get him mixed up with Howard Hawks, director.
The thing I'm learning from this movie, because I knew
the
name.
It's a real life story. It's like a biopic,
The directing
basically.
Was the least he did in his whole career.
Yeah.
He literally revolutionised airlines.
Hell's Angels.
He's an actual aviator.
But he also directed Jane Russell in The Outlaw. So he was like a Hollywood director, but he had this other life of building aeroplanes and getting involved in the war in that way, in terms of getting aviation up and running and stuff. And then this is all... It goes through his whole life. It's a long film. It's like over 2 hours.
Yeah. Now, can we talk about that for a second? All right.
But you need to, because there's so much.
You need a bloody good excuse to try and keep my attention for 3 hours plus.
And he's got all this sort of like, well, I suppose it's undiagnosed OCD, which probably wouldn't be recognised at the time. So he goes, he ends up being a bit of a recluse. He has to keep washing his hands and stuff. And then he has like a stutter and everything. And he's trying to do all this
paranoia.
Other stuff. But he's also a very rich, powerful man as well in Hollywood at the time. And he goes out with Ava Gardner. There's Catherine Hepburn, played by Kate Blanchett.
Her performance, excuse me, do not skip over that.
Yeah, she's
her
brilliant.
Performance as the eccentric, wildly unpredictable Catherine Hepburn.
If you've seen Catherine Hepburn in Bringing Up Baby, it's exactly that. They pretty much recreate
There's
that.
A wonderful scene where Catherine Hepburn takes Howard Hughes back home to meet the family. I was on edge throughout the whole scene.
And I've always loved this film. I don't know why, because I remember going to see it at the cinema. It was called The Aviator. I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was a sci-fi film. And I went in and sat down and just watched.
Sci-fi.
That's the thing. When you just go in and watch something that you have no idea about. I had no idea what it was going on. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I had no idea where it was going. I never heard of this guy. But yeah, The Life of Howard Hughes, very, very interesting. And Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, sorry, I keep interrupting you, are a great duo, and they have made lots of brilliant films together.
This is just because you're passionate about it. It's great to hear. I thought the middle of the movie, where he's really sort of leaning into Howard Hughes' mania, and you have these long, long scenes of him in his home cinema, you know, storing up piss in a bottle and screaming at people through the door and things like that. Those went on a bit too long. But then, I suppose it's all to make you think that actually he's going to lose this court case and his career is going to go down the pan. And he makes a spectacular, heroic performance in court where he takes them down, doesn't he, the people from the other airline. And then it turns out actually that this movie is still only a fraction of his career. He went on for decades and decades and built basically a business empire.
So if you like sort of classic Hollywood, if you like biopics, or if you like aviation, this is the film for you.
If you like mental health, then this film ticks all those boxes. I would say it's half an hour too long.
Yeah, I don't think it did well at the box office. I don't think it was a draw
but
like the themes.
But it's beautifully made. Yeah, absolutely stunningly directed. Okay, next up then. Oh, no, we didn't give it Hamster Wheels.
Oh, I'm going to say 10 because I love it.
I'll give it 7. It's good.
I really love it.
Well above average. Okay, The Secret Life of David Copperfield.
Oh, yeah, so this was the most recent film version. 2019, I think.
Around
this one was.
Dev Patel.
Starring Dev Patel and Peter Capaldi.
Oh, if Peter Capaldi had played the Doctor, like this mad eccentric in this movie, we would have loved him in seconds instead of 2 seasons.
Oh, and who's the lady that plays the aunt? Oh, what's her name? The aunt with the donkeys.
Oh, the one everyone says should be the Doctor.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton.
Oh, she was hilarious.
Oh, and you got Hugh Laurie in there as well. Brilliant cast.
No donkeys!
But it's a Dickens tale, and you need all these eccentric actors to bring all these over-the-top characters to life, and that's exactly what it does.
But it is Dickens as told via Hollywood. So whilst it does chart the highs and lows, like Dickens does through someone's life, it never goes like... you remember when we watched the Oliver Twist?
Yeah,
the old 70s one?
Yeah. It's not the gritty
brutal
BBC drama adaptation version. It's the Hollywood costume, everything sort of clean, clear and tidy version, but very colourful.
Yeah. I think what works best in this movie is the performances, the humour, and it is just the characterization as well. It's well made again. Mm. We've chosen some pretty expensive movies on this list.
Well, we're not paying for them.
But I watched this first with Jack Shanahan. He insists I watched this with him over Zoom. Mm. And we had a grand old time and I loved it again this
time around.
I
saw it at the cinema when it came out.
This is an easy 9 for me. I thought it was hugely entertaining.
I liked it, yeah. I do like my Dickens. I probably prefer BBC adaptations. I'm going to give this a 7.
Okay, that's fair. Well, we're doing all right so far, aren't we? So next up is another Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio combination. I'm starting to think you fancy one or either of them because you put plenty of their movies in this box. That's not a euphemism. Shutter Island.
Shutter Island, yeah, based on a novel.
Yeah.
This is also... Okay, so we've got my favourite duo...
Your favourite Jew?
Duo.
Oh, okay.
Making this film. Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. Great film, but also it's my favourite genre of this story with a twist, or there's something you don't know, or there's that moment at the end where it all makes sense. It's that mystery. That is my favourite genre. So this ticks even more boxes for me. What did you think?
I love horror movies, but in particular, I love psychological horror movies. This is both. It's got some really scary imagery in it, this sort of mental asylum on an island. So you've got all these horrible scenes of these prisoners and that escaping out of the cells and going after people and all of this. Very, very visceral horror. But then that brilliant psychological horror of Leonardo DiCaprio, this upstanding detective, come on the island to try and figure out all the mysteries that are going on there.
Yeah, so set in like the 40s, and he goes to Shutter Island, and he's a detective that is, someone's escaped on the island, and he's been brought there to try and like find what's going on with his partner.
And but all things the movie, aren't
what they seem.
Well, all through the movie, they're saying, who is, it the 64th, 63rd prisoner?
Maybe 69th.
Oh, sorry. Well, basically, there's a number. They're like, there's this many prisoners here, and then there's a note that says, who is the last prisoner?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, well, who is it? Who is it? Mm. And then, of course, the twist at the end of the movie
is... you're not going to tell everyone what the twist is, are we?
Oh, for God's sake, it's old, this movie!
No, but we don't want to ruin it if people haven't seen it. Anyway, okay. Things aren't what they seem, and you're not really sure what is happening as it goes on. It's getting more and more...
I'll say this, the twist at the end of the movie, it makes sense. You can figure it out as you go along, because there are some movies where you're not given the clues and the twists are a bit of a cheat. And actually, the flashback to why what's occurred is so horrific and so well filmed. It made me feel very uncomfortable watching it. Yeah, this is a very good horror movie because I felt horrified.
Yeah.
I'm giving this 9.
Are you?
Yeah, oh. I thought it was...
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
Although I do like it.
Oh boy, now we're in trouble. I mean, I barely remember a thing about this one. It's halfway through the list. Cry of the Owl. What was that about? Oh,
this is the one you didn't like because it was too above you.
Basically, Mark thinks every time I don't like a movie, he recommends.
You was on your phone.
But I can't figure out the nuances. Properly.
So this, Cry of the Owl, it's based on a Patricia Highsmith book. And Patricia Highsmith wrote Talented Mr. Ripley and all the Ripley books and stuff. I love
the Talented Mr. Ripley.
So that's her genre. I need to read more of her, actually. So this is, again, a story, sort of a psychological thriller with a twist, very similar to Shutter Island. I don't think it got a particularly big release. I don't think it's particularly well known.
No, it bombed.
But it starts off, I can tell you like the basic concept, but without spoiling things. So there's this man and he's sort of stalking this woman and he's in the middle of the night watching her in her house. He's sort of outside hanging around this, looking through the window, just looking at her and
it's
stuff.
It's Catherine Heigl. She plays the woman.
She's brilliant in this. And then she sees him one day and comes out of the house and starts talking to him and they strike up a bit of a friendship. And then... as it goes on, you're like, actually, who is stalking who
here?
Because
she
starts becoming what, and he's trying to get away from her. So then the roles are reversed. But I can't really say any more than that. But if you like Patricia Highsmith stuff, then I'm sure you would have heard of this. But if not, again, story of the twist, psychological thriller, very slow burn.
What was the twist?
I think it's a very slow burn. I can't say any more.
We can't talk about these movies without talking about them.
Well, you should have been watching a bit more closely and not been on your phone, not paying attention.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you why I didn't like this movie.
Fine.
Because it was dry as dust.
It's a slow burn. It's supposed to be.
Slow burn. And there's slow burn. And then there's the skids on right at the start. Though, the trouble is I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't like any of them. I didn't like him. And he's supposed to be the victim throughout this. So the idea of this movie is this fella... He goes to this woman's house and it's like a domino rally. It starts, a series of events start to happen, which then throws a terrible light on him. People start being murdered and all this. And throughout the whole movie, he's trying to make himself the innocent person. And the more he does, the worse he gets into it. Till right at the end of the movie, lots of people are being killed and it's all going horribly wrong for him. But I didn't like him. And I think that's the big problem, is if that character was likable, then you'd be invested in this movie. But because everybody's a bit horrible in this, or weird, Catherine Heigl, the stalker, she was very odd. I don't know. And it didn't have much pace to it.
No, I think there's more to it than you see. But okay. Anyway, Mark we'll thinks, see if everyone...
Mark thinks it had subtle nuances.
Let us know. If you well, happen everybody. To watch Cry of the Owl or No Cry of the Owl, maybe the book is better.
Can I ask know. All of
what
you...
What are you going to give it?
Hamster Extra people, watch Cry of the Owl and then say if me or Mark is right.
I'm going to give it a 7.
A 4.
Okay.
Just below average. It wasn't truly abysmal. But you know, now we're back on form with the next film, Camp Rock.
Yes. Yeah, so
oh my God.
I think it was a...
I love to sing and dance.
So it was a Disney original movie, Camp Rock. I think this was in the wake of High School Musical being very popular. We're so we're going back to together. The early 2010s. This is Camp Rock, so it's the Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato.
Kind of one of them.
And, I mean, if you know
one
High School
of the Jonas
Musical...
Brothers.
Well, they're
yeah,
all in it.
Barely appeared.
They do the songs and stuff. So Demi Lovato, she gets to go to Camp Rock. She's always wanted to go there, where you all sing and dance.
But
you're all
her
happy.
Mom is the cook.
Her mom is the cook.
But because she wants to hang out, she wants to hang out with the rich kids.
It's High School Musical meets Cinderella, basically.
So, yeah, she tells the rich bitches, and there's this one blonde girl who's a total bitch. She tells them that her mum's this famous person and all this. So she has to spend the first half of the movie trying to make them avoid her mum, who's the camp cook.
It's fun, but the problem is it's not as great as High School Musical. The songs aren't very memorable, unfortunately.
I thought
there's
the last
great.
Couple of songs were pretty good.
The characters don't really stand out very much. They sort of blend in. Demi Lovato does her best. Jonas Brothers are terrible actors.
I thought her name was Poots Lovato.
that was the meme, the long-lost sister meme. We won't go into Poots Lovato. Okay. But Demi Lovato, this is probably like her first big... Well, I don't know. She must have done some other Disney stuff.
Can I just say, as a side
not
note,
as memorable.
The Cinderella part of the story is because at the beginning of the movie, obviously she writes her own songs, but no one's ever heard it before. So she's in the kitchen, sort of going, I wish I could be a singer. And one of the Jonas Brothers hears her voice and goes, who is that girl? And then he spends the whole movie going around the camp going, everyone sing for me. That's the girl I'm going to sing with in my next album. And then obviously at the end, and it all conspires that she's on the stage singing and it's like, you're that girl, and then they sing a song together and they all get happy in it. The thing I didn't understand was how the blonde girl, you know, the bitch,
there's
a rich bitch girl who's really making her life difficult. She's a reformed character. Between scenes in the climax, she goes, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry, I'm such a bitch. And then she's in the girl group at the end.
It's a Disney film, they're all reformed characters at the end.
Oh, okay.
It was okay, but just not to the heights of High School Musical, unfortunately. And if the songs were better, then I would have enjoyed it a bit more, but they weren't
that
great.
How many hamster wheels would you give this?
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, I'm going to give this...
No.
I'm going to give this 8 hamster
no
wheels.
No way.
And I'll tell you for why. I watched this on the same day that I watched Cry of the Owl.
I know, we did them back to back.
I might have been feeling kind watching this, but, I mean, after that boring film, it was so lovely to watch something camp... Well... Camp Rock, and fun and silly and childish and much more my bag. So Camp Rock, 8. Okay, next up, oh my.
Enough of my choices.
Oh, no. Okay, so guys, if you ever fancied watching 2.5 hours of a woman walking across countryside, then The Wall is the film
Again,
for you.
Again, this is based on a book. I think it's a German film. I can't remember who it's by. Should have had that ready, but never mind. I first heard of this, right, when it was on the Big Finish magazine in Vortex, when somebody was writing about their Survivors series.
Right.
And they said, this is the sort of style we're going for, you know, people out in the wilderness trying to survive. A bit like, The Wall, the film The Wall.
They can't do a Survivors audio like that movie, and 2.5 hours of nothing.
And again, this is sort of my kind of genre. Something weird's going on. It's not really explained. The story with a bit of a twist, but this is very different in that, I mean, the book's probably quite famous, so probably people know it. This woman out in the Australian Alps. Alps.
I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but it's beautiful.
It's
scenery.
Amazingly shot.
Gorgeous.
She's out there in a log cabin, middle of nowhere, with her dog. And the people that she's with don't come back. So she's like, okay, we'll walk out to the village to find them. And in big invisible wall, she can't get... It's just invisible wall. You don't see anything. It's invisible. She can't get across. And she finds out she's basically in this valley on her own. Outside world is sort of frozen outside. She tries to crash the car through. She can't get through. Nothing will get through into this world. So it's her then narrating this story. It's just one actress. She does brilliantly. On the film, she narrates it in German, and you can have it narrated in English as well, which is quite handy. Because it's just her and the animals surviving in this, within this wall. She's got to, you know, get food. She's got to do the crop. She's like, she doesn't know what's going on, what's happened to the outside world. There's all these questions, but she's still got to survive. So it's her survival story
for 2.5 hours. But it's brilliantly shot,
and it's great. I'm happy to watch her do that.
She walks across the pastures. She goes and gets the cow. She goes and takes the dog out for a walk, and then, I mean, my issue with this movie is it's a very interpretive movie, i.e. this whole survival story of this woman, it's got very deep themes to it that, you know, you sort of have to look beneath what's in the movie as to what they're trying to get at. And I like a literal movie. I want a movie to entertain me. I don't want 2.5 hours of,
oh, she finds a cow.
The biggest problem with this movie is you don't find out nothing about this fucking wall.
Well, you might. Don't it'd be like
that
other
movie
you
we
might.
Watched. Remember that movie we watched when they went to the island and they were trapped on the island and they were all getting older very fast? Imagine if that ended and we never found out why.
No, it's fine. No, it's not about that, though. Yeah, it's about her survival and her questions of, like, life. And, you know, because she sees a fox, she sees a cow, she has a dog. Oh, she finds a cat, and a cat has a kitten. And there's a white eagle or something.
Can I say something to you, though? Yeah. Like, if I want to do that, I'll go to Austria and walk across the countryside and see all the animals.
And then she's got
to
shoot.
I don't need to watch it on my TV.
She doesn't want to have to shoot the animals and skin it, but she has to, because to survive and things. Anyway, let's move on.
Don't be shitty. Just like the movie you suggested. I mean, I'm surprised you like this. You normally like fast-paced sort
of... No, I don't. I like things like this. It's a weird thing. What attracted me, I was like, okay, it's like Survivors. I like Survivors. And there's this weird... There's a wall. There's a weird thing.
Yeah, what was that about?
But I like that.
What was the wall?
I don't know.
Was it an experiment?
I'm going to read the book and see if there's any more.
Please do, and enlighten me, and I might enjoy it some more.
I'm going to give this a 7.
5. I think it's very well directed. And beautifully acted. It was, the whole production was gorgeous. The narrative was so boring, though. I'm sorry. Okay, next up we've got, the most controversial film of all time in terms of production, Dr. Dolittle.
Oh, so this is the 70s one, isn't it?
Late 60s, I think.
Is it late 60s? Yeah. The late 60s with Rex
Harrison,
the musical extravaganza.
Yeah. I want to talk about the behind the scenes more than the
movie.
Who's
the guy? Who's the Irish guy in it? He went out with Annika Wills.
Yeah, I can't remember his name now.
Anyway, I don't think it did very well, did it?
It bombed.
I mean, to make Dr. Dolittle into a film is a very difficult thing. I mean, yeah. I didn't like the
animated. Probably
I
better.
Mean, they use real animals throughout the whole thing. There's like one instance of a fake animal. Everything is real. So they've got all... I mean, it's just amazing just to watch Rex Harrison in the studio with a million different lights. Squirrels, rabbits, guinea pigs. There's a horse. There's a monkey. There's duck, pig. Everything all real together in a room.
When you say one instance of fake animals, there was a two-headed llama.
Oh yeah, apart from the push and pull you.
An annoying, snail, coloured pink.
But I don't like the Eddie Murphy versions. There's the Robert Downey Jr. one, which I didn't really like either.
Ace Ventura, Pets
Detective. When you start doing to CGI and stuff, it's not as great. At least here, you have real animals most of the time.
Can I tell you but, behind the scenes of this one?
Yeah, okay.
Well, so Rex Harrison was apparently a massive racist, and obviously his co-star's a Jew, so he was saying terrible things throughout. Apparently the animals, none of them behaved, and they were shitting all over the place and biting Rex Harrison all the time. Yeah. So his acting was actually pretty good. It looked like he loved being there with him. They went to an island. No, sorry, they went to a village in England to film those early scenes, and they tore up half the grass and everything and made a fake harbour there.
Mm.
And the villagers were so appalled by what they were doing, they all started revolting and sabotaged all the filming. They couldn't finish it. They had to go and shoot the whole lot back in Hollywood. And then they went to this island where, you know, they filmed the... It's like a desert island where they filmed the giant snake and a snail. And apparently the inhabitants of the islands all had a fear of these awful snails that kill people, thought the snail was a massive portent of disaster, and attacked the snail in the climax. By all accounts, it was a really abysmal shoot.
I mean, it's quite a long film as well.
I thought it was quite fun.
But the songs aren't particularly
That's
great.
The problem.
It doesn't fit in with your classics, you know, like your Mary Poppins or your Bedknobs and Broomsticks or anything around that time.
It's not as high quality.
It doesn't have, because it's not Disney, is it? Or is it?
I think it is, yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't...
You can talk to the animals.
There's like one song that's all right, but all of the rest are all a bit...
Don't you think it passes the time? It's entertaining enough.
It's entertaining, but you started looking up about Rex Harrison halfway through, and then I just kept seeing him being like that when I was watching the film. Yeah. So I was like, oh, they're having a miserable time.
It was appalling. You know the bit when they're all on rafts on the water, and he wouldn't shoot it, and he kept pushing his raft away from the camera, wasting hours and hours of time. Because he was a bastard. Oh, he didn't want to be there. And it made, like, 2/3 less its budget in the cinema, so not a success overall. But I think any movie where the hero flies into London on a giant, what was it, moon moth or something at the end, I don't think it was terrible. I'll give it a 5.
I'll give it a 5 as well.
Yeah. It's certainly not a highlight of the 60s musicals.
No.
Okay, 3 to go. So the next up is a particular favourite of mine, but I don't think you were too impressed. The Usual Suspects.
Well, I'd heard of it. I'd never seen it. It's one of the great British cinema films, isn't it? It's always in the lists, you know,
it
of
is
films
American,
to watch.
But yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm getting
full of American actors.
Well, you see, at uni, I did British Gangster at uni. I didn't do the American ones. That's why.
Well, see, I studied this in media when we were talking about narration, because this has an unreliable narrator in it.
Right.
I got to admit, I was watching it this time. I think it is a very robust script. It's plotted to the hill.
I like it because it's got that twist.
Okay.
It was all right. Yeah, it's not... Again, it's not the sort of genre that I would particularly choose, but I still enjoyed it.
I mean, I don't really like gangster movies.
I enjoyed the mystery of it and like trying to work out actually what was going on. It took me a bit more time to get into it, but once I did, I was invested. But I guess the twist... quite early on, because I think
did
it's
you
quite
guess
obvious.
That he was making up the whole story from the details around the office?
Don't say that. Don't spoil it for people.
It's one of the most known twists ever.
No, well, I think
it's in
that.
Scary Movie.
I guess the twist, who the person they were trying to work out who it was. I guess that much. But it's all right. The Usual Suspects. What's his name in it?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
We're not allowed to like him anymore because he's
our
director.
That director. Isn't the
director? We're not allowed to like the director. Brian Singer anymore, because he's a terrible pervert. So we're in a bit of trouble with this movie, enjoying it. But actually, it is widely recognised as a classic, The Usual Suspects. And you know what?
I can understand why it's a classic.
The direction is fabulous. And I think the suspense around the Kaiser Soze character, and then when he turns up in the ship, you know, and the fellow's there in the room going, "It's Kaiser Soze! He's coming for me!" Oh my God, I get so tense. I'm going to give this... 10 hamster wheels
out of 10.
I think this is my favourite one on this list.
I'm going to say 5.
5? Really?
Right.
Okay, it's your opinion. I respect it. Okay, next up is 2 more to go. From Hell.
Oh, you've done it. There's Beaches next, but never mind.
Oh, yeah. We'll do Beaches after this. Come on. Okay. From Hell.
From Hell. Okay, one that I'd never heard of. This is Johnny Depp. Investigating the murder. It's basically Jack the Ripper, investigating Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
What year was this again? Early 2000s?
Yeah. Yes. All of those British character actors.
It's one of these American made, but they've got all the British actors in. So you've got... Robbie Coltrane. You've got Ian Holm. You've got...
Leslie Sharp.
Yes, Leslie Sharp. And Joanna...
Page.
The
weird thing is the two leads... which is Johnny Depp and Heather Graham, who are he's an English inspector and an English prostitute, are both American.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
I mean, this is the world of Jago and Lightfoot, but with a bit more gore. Like
18, a bit more?
This is 18 certificate Jago and Lightfoot at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's all it is, but it's
you
brilliant.
You can imagine, you know the bit where Ian McShane, who's this very sort of weak-stomached mortuary person. You can imagine that being Lightfoot, couldn't you? Yeah. But just sort of being more reformed.
Oh, what's Lightfoot say? Oh, my dear Jago, they've taken out her uterus.
And her fanny.
And all that, and you could have Lisa Bauman as in the Hailing bar.
Down the Red Tavern.
With all the prostitutes. Oh, Lisa Bauman should star, starring Lisa Bauman and Johnny Depp in From Hell. Oh my God, please. I'd love imagine.
It. One thing I'll say watching it this time was the cinematography was out of this world. It's come from a graphic novel, and there's all these shots of London with a blood red sky, and it's... Johnny Depp's had taken drugs, so there's lots of like hallucinatory direction during those scenes.
I think you're right when you compared it to like Sleepy Hollow, but it's not as stylized. It is more grounded in reality. It's not Hollywoodized Victorian. They do try well.
It's dirty, isn't
they
it?
They try and make it the scummy, dirty London.
I think
the
they succeed to a point.
They try and do that.
There's
it's
a bit
not
where that,
Hollywood.
Where that poor prosy is pushed up against the wall by that fat man. He goes, "Is it in? Is it in? Yeah. No, it's between your legs. Come here." I was like, "Oh, please! I don't need to see that on a Saturday night."
Lisa Bauman needs an award for that scene from Jacob and Lightfoot Series 3.
Oh, Ellie the barmaid! No, stop being a prosy.
Oh my God, then you need Louise Jameson as Leela to turn up and sort out the crime. Oh my God.
It just writes itself, doesn't it?
It's that kind of world.
I would say...
That was fun.
I was absolutely... I thought Ian Holm was superb in this.
Yeah.
Without giving anything away, I think he is superb.
He used to be married to Penelope Wilton.
Did he really? Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the talented marriage there then, isn't
it? Yeah, but they got divorced.
Ah, no longer. Now, I would give this 8... Hamster Wheels out of 10.
I give it 7.
Oh, why a little bit down?
I don't know if I watch it again and again.
Oh, okay. It really scared me when I was younger.
I mean, it's not scary. It's quite gory.
Because obviously, whoever Jack the Ripper is revealed at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And when it happens, suddenly his eyes go all black, don't they? And he's like the devil. And I had this long corridor where I lived in my house. And I was absolutely convinced that coming in the front door, going down that corridor, Jack the Ripper was going to come around that corner and gut me. And I don't know if it's because I was a bit of a hooker back in the day. But it did. It really scared me back in the day, so I'll give it an 8. Okay, well, what about this? You ready? You gotta win a little, lose a little, and I'll sing the blues a little. That's the glory of, that's the story of love.
Right, so next is Beaches. I'd never seen this before. Again, really famous film. I think a lot of people listening would have watched Beaches
it's
and know Beaches.
That, it's kind of like, do you reckon it's the one that your sister or your wife forces you to watch?
What is it from the 80s, isn't it?
It's the late 80s,
late
early
90s,
because
I'm not too keen on 80s films, to be honest. Oh, I know. Man. I know there's a lot of classics.
I'm going to put loads
of. So that's why
match.
I wouldn't have probably watched it, because I don't go for 80s films. Again, I had no idea where this was going, what type of story it was.
Dying,
it started
so
off with Bette Midler as this pop star woman singing this song. And then it went back in time and it was her meeting these girls.
I'm Cece Bloom.
Yeah, I had no idea. I don't think I've ever watched a Bette Midler film before.
And?
Great. She's a great actress, isn't she?
She's a great singer as well.
Really good story. It's based on a book, I think, as well.
Okay.
I feel like it is. I think I saw that it was based on a book.
You basically said every film on this
list. Well, that's where all the best stories come from. So, yeah, I liked it. It was that sort of... I don't know, you could probably watch it at a hen party or something.
Can I be serious as to why I like this for a second? Because I actually think it charts friendship in a really interesting way. It shows you when you have a friendship that lasts a lifetime, because they meet as kids, and then one is very poor and lives in the Bronx and is a singer, and the other one comes from a very rich family, goes to all the best hotels and is training to be a lawyer, an absolutely best friend. Then one day she just decides to leave her life, doesn't she, as a lawyer, and go and stay with her in the Bronx, and they live in this shitty old apartment where they have to bang the radiator to get the heat up, and she goes, "For once in my life I'm free at last." And then it charts their friendship. They absolutely have the best time living together for sort of 5 or 10 years. And then men come into their lives and they fight over that. And then family members die, so they have to move apart. And it goes to show that you can have that period of your life where you're so close with somebody And those friendships do last, but they sort of evolve and change over time. Mm. And then one of them has a kid, and the kid doesn't like the other one so much.
And they're always writing to each other and stuff, even all these ups and downs throughout life. I mean, you couldn't do this now because social media and phones and mobile and stuff, it just wouldn't work. You wouldn't be able to tell the story now.
Do you think the songs were good in this?
Not really. Nothing.
Oh, you're mad.
Industry. No.
Whatever will become.
No, I didn't really like the songs particularly.
What about
much,
this one then?
It's not a musical really though, is it? It's
just a tiddling inventor and crowd. He didn't get very much to get excited about. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, but they're more like songs that happen in the film rather than it's not an actual musical.
Oh, would you buy a Brazil?
Okay.
I think the best thing about this movie is it's funny.
Yeah,
it's got loads.
Great comedy.
She's got this really dumb boxer dog, Bette Midler, and she realizes after he dies how much she absolutely loved him.
Was she really famous before this film?
She had a reasonable career, but this just
is this what made
her
more of a
limelight. Yeah. Okay. I think this is the rarest of things. I think this is a chick flick which is genuinely funny and genuinely moving.
That's what I meant, henpai. I meant chick flick when I said about henpai.
But like, I cried at the end of this one as well. Yeah. I think where they're sitting on the beach together and she dies, it's really quite sad.
You spoil the ending! Oh my god. Edit that out.
All these
bleep
films.
Just put a bleep over that.
All these films are 30 years old.
I know, but we're recommending them people for the first time.
Okay, well then the very last film on our list. Oh wait, how many wheels? I'll give that a 9.
7.
Oh really? As low as that? Is it because this
it's
is
not
chick
too
flick?
Low? No, it's just all—it's all right.
Okay, no need to be so defensive about your scores. And finally, The Glass Onion.
Yeah, so this was the second Knives Out. Is it Knives Out? Yeah. Or it's a sequel to Knives Out or from Netflix.
Daniel Craig as the southern detective, who I think might be gay. He's living with Hugh Grant, that's for sure.
I don't know what's going on there. So clever. Again, murder mystery. This is your modern murder mystery. I think this is how murder mystery films should be consumed now. Netflix are just doing the great thing with these, aren't they?
Or making movies.
They're like
out
original.
Of them.
I don't think they're adapted from anything.
This is an original script.
This
for
is
sure.
an original yeah. thing. It's always very up to the date. There's lots of sort of modern references in it. I think they made it just post-COVID, but it's sort of set in 2020 with COVID
point.
And stuff, and there's just lots of sort of
it does
modern,
date it, doesn't it?
And there's lots of sort of references. The type of characters are sort of the type of people in sort of pop culture today, so it does fit very well. And you've got a very clever murder mystery, but the way that they do it, I think they did this in the first one, you watch it all sort of play out, then you go back and
watch
actually what you've all seen is not how it, and then you see it from a different angle.
Yeah,
that's very clever.
Because I actually thought at the end of the movie where it's all revealed who did the murders, I don't think that was that impressive.
That's, it's not
that's
really,
sort
no.
of functional. The clever thing is, like you said,
it's
everything you've
clues.
Been presented with is a lie, and then it goes back and slots in all the bits that you weren't seeing whilst you were watching the original lot.
Yeah.
Very, very clever. So, this is effectively doing and then there are none. And then there were none. Because it's taken a load of characters that are invited to an island. It's the same plot. Mm. Exactly. And I thought there was an impeccable cast. Mm. What was that lady's name? The singer?
Have you forgotten? Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, that, her. She was amazing. She's playing a dual role and she's very good in that. Daniel Craig, hilariously good throughout. And I think he might be gay. And we started wearing cravats in this one.
Well, it's very stylized, isn't it? All the costumes and the
I wondered if the whole island would end up utterly destroyed. And Kelsey Priest, it was. Oh, I spoiled the ending again.
Well, streaming on Netflix now, if you want to watch something a bit more modern.
I didn't think it was as clever as the first movie, but I thought it was vastly more
but again,
entertaining.
A bit like the David Copperfield, it's the cast they assemble.
Yeah.
The characters that they play. I feel like sometimes they get to find the actor and then they write the script, some of these
maybe,
more modern ones.
Maybe.
Well,
this
I
was
don't
more
know.
About
I feel
this...
like it's who can we get in this.
But this was less about the intricacies of the plot and more about how it was put together as a piece of entertainment. And I think on that level it scores high, and I would easily, because I was having a blast with the second half, 9 hamster wheels for that one.
Ooh, I'm going to say 8 for this one.
I probably would give the first one a 9 as well, but for different reasons.
There we go.
Well, that's our list.
That's all our movies we've watched recently.
Is there many more left in the box?
Or maybe recommend some if everyone's got anyone wants to recommend us some. That might be fun as well.
Send in your recommendations and we'll put them in the box.
We'll put them in the box, yeah, because we like going in without knowing anything.
What, in the box?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, look, whilst we've watched 10 more movies, we'll be back to give you our recommendations.
We've just done more than 10, you know.
We do.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And we don't want anyone to say we're too predictable. We've got thrillers, Disney movies, chick flicks, the whole works. Well, until next time.
Goodbye.